Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading verse 11 through 13 in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What Paul is trying to get us to do here is just simply come together. He is asking for us to work with our abilities, our talents, our skills to promote Christianity throughout our lives. And he is asking us to do this in such a way that we can be molded together with a love, with a unity, with a faith that does not separate us. In fact, he talks about the perfect man, and he's talking about the complete man here. Spiritually, we understand that we can't be perfect in the sense of having no fault in life. But we can be perfect in the sense that we can be complete. And that's what Paul is asking of us, to take all of the parts that we have, to work together to build up the cause of Christ. And then he talks about the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to be full in Christ. And you know, when I think about this passage of Scripture, I think this is something that should be the goal of each one of us. To use what God has given us for that purpose. To put God first in our lives. To put His kingdom first in our lives. And you know, when you go to the Scriptures, you'll find out that the church actually began this way. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. And I'd like to read to us, for us to read together some verses from Acts chapter 2 that tells this is exactly what they did at the very infancy of Christianity. Now we're talking about people who no doubt had to change their lifestyle, who no doubt had to change their religious thinking to become a child of God the way Christianity causes man to be. So let's read this together, beginning in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It says here that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were carrying out what Paul would later write about and what is expected of us as Christians in the church. They were edifying the body of Christ. They were working in the ministry of Christ. They were using their skills, their abilities, their talents to promote Christianity in their lives and in the lives of those around them. So we find they are doing exactly what Paul is mentioning here in Ephesians chapter 4. And it actually stayed that way for a while. We can move on over to Acts chapter 4, if you will, and verse 35 beginning, and we read farther on in the book of Acts that these people are still practicing this very same thing. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Well, this is the same thing that's happening in Acts chapter 2. and with the great power of the apostles gave witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to anyone or to each as anyone had need. These people worked together for the cause of Christ. This theme of togetherness that is brought forth here in Ephesians 4 and in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4, this is consistent throughout the Bible. We find Christians working together for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the church, and basically for the cause of one another. It takes working together to build up the church. So what I want to do for just a few minutes tonight, I want us to discuss some of the ways of building up the church. What can we do that we may accomplish in a great way what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4? Well, first of all, I want us to look up this phrase, building up. What does it mean when you build up something? Well, when you look at the definition, it's like building a house. When you build a house, you start with a strong foundation. And you take that beginning and you begin to grow upon that strength of the foundation. In other words, you don't stay where you are. As you become a child of God, you begin to grow. You begin to become better with your Christianity. You begin to share your Christianity, and you become stronger in faith, and you give that to other people as well. But it has to begin with a strong foundation. The foundation has to be right for any building to grow. Now, we found this out several years ago. Matter of fact, I guess it was 1988. We built a house back in North Alabama. And they poured the foundation. They dug it. They poured it. They concreted. Already had the whole floors concreted in place. And then they found out they had done it wrong. They had made a mistake in the front bedroom, which would turn out to be Mandy's bedroom, and our front porch. They had already poured the slab. The concrete was there. It was not going anywhere. As a result, they had to change the diagram of the house to match the incorrect foundation that was poured and build upon the foundation that was there. As a result, our front porch was 4 feet shorter than it should have been, and Mandy had a humongous closet in her bedroom. So they had to make amends for that, and the only way they could do it was change how they built, because the foundation was incorrect. You know what? It is still incorrect today. That porch is still 4 feet too short, and that front bedroom has a humongous closet in it. We need to take the foundation that has been laid for us, the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ, and the apostles also being that important part of the foundation that God built for us to grow upon. And we must grow upon it. Paul talks about spiritual growth at the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. And he's talking about you take the foundation that was laid down by Jesus Christ and you build according to that. You don't change it. You don't try to get around it. You don't try to cut corners. You ever seen corners being cut in a church building? You are sitting in a church building where corners were cut. Every time we have something structurally done at this building, the workers will come to us and say, well, you know, this building getting set up right. It's short here and it's not setting straight and all that. That was the case when they built the ramp out back. All of you get to see our new ramp tonight when you go out into the annex, if you haven't seen it as of yet. And the first thing the man, when he got finished, he took me out there to take a look at it. And the first thing he says, you know, this building ain't square. And I said, look, I'm not a bit surprised. I said, there's so many corners that has been cut in building this structure. I'm surprised it don't just roll away. And every time we have something done, that's one of the first things that we're told. This building ain't square. Well, it's probably not. But you need that solid foundation. Now, let's read what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, and the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, did you catch this part? The whole building being fitted together. In other words, it all comes together. Them people that built our house back in Alabama, if they had kept the diagrams that they had and built that house according to those plans, the house would have never stood. Because the beams and the braces, that little 4-foot difference in that front wall would have kept that house from being completed in its greatest strength. That's why we have to build according to what God has given us to build upon. That is the only way that we will grow. And then he's also telling us we have to grow. In other words, this is not a thing of maintenance. You know, we found out in the last few years, this house, this building is now what, Terry, about 60 years old? 64 years, it was built in 64. Well, that's 60 years old, isn't it? We have found that we have to constantly be doing something to this structure to keep it the way it is. We're constantly having to repair something. We're constantly having to upgrade something to keep it where it will continue to stand and be functional for us. That's maintenance. That is not growth. We are commanded by the Apostle Paul to grow. Now, this also comes from the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, not only is Peter telling us to grow, he is telling us how to grow. We grow by following the word that God has given to us. We grow by following the plan that he has for us. And growth will automatically happen if we stay within that plan and we work within that plan. We will grow. Spiritual life is just like the physical life. When you stop growing, you die. Simple as that. Now, let's talk about building. Let's talk about building through the Word of God. The fact is, without the Word of God, any effort whatsoever to grow spiritually will fail. If you try to grow in any way without God's Word, you have wasted your time. Every effort that you have made. We need the knowledge and the understanding on how to grow. You know, Paul tells us 2 Timothy 2:15, King James, I think, says it best, study to show yourself approved. Other versions say be diligent, be ready. And it means the same thing. You do everything that you possibly can to be the type of Christian that you possibly can, to become stronger every day in your life as a Christian. And you do that through knowledge and understanding of God's Word. We must build up through the Word of God. You see, we need purity in our lives. And there's no other way to get purity than through God's Word. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And all of these things are important for us to grow spiritually. But that first thing, purity. We have to start it the right way. We have to build on that foundation the right way and then grow the right way, and all of these other things will fall into place. But it must start correctly. with the purity of God's word. Next, we need to build up through our evangelism. Now, you know the commandment of Christ that we know as the Great Commission was given to us in three of the four Gospels. I want to read to you Matthew's version of this Great Commission. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. This is Jesus talking, by the way. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The Great Commission, that is our task. And it's not just my task as the preacher. It's not just my task as an elder. It's not just Terry's task as an elder. This was not given to elders and preachers because there were none at that time outside of the 12 apostles. He was talking to a group of individuals to carry out this task. You see, the days of building a church building, buying a church building, hiring a preacher to do the preaching, hiring a preacher to do the visiting, all of those days had not yet arrived. All that came later through man's thinking. During those days, everyone, every Christian practiced Christianity in their lives. That's how the church grew. You know, if the spreading of the gospel of Christ had been left up to only those 12 men, the church would have never gotten off the ground. Because it would have been impossible for 12 people to spread the gospel to the lost and dying world. It took work on the part of everyone. Can you imagine if you went to Detroit today, either to the Ford Motor Company or to GMC or to Chrysler, and you had 11 people with you and they said, okay, you build all the cars. How many cars do you think we would have? And how many of you would have one? No one would. Because 12 men couldn't build many cars in a day's time. Where in reality, hundreds of cars move out every day, are built every day. Thousands of cars, hundreds of thousands of cars are coming out of Detroit every year. Because there are so many people involved in doing that. And they're all working together and they're all following a plan. And the job gets done. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us here. He's saying, look, you have a job to do and you need to work together. And it's not just one or two people's responsibility to get this job done. It is to be done through every person. It's everyone's task. It's everyone's responsibility. Not just the preacher or the elders or the Sunday school teachers. The church grows because of evangelistic efforts on the part of us all. And then, of course, we build our church through our leadership. Church leadership is a vital part of church growth. The leaders of the church are the main ones who give, first of all, example and guidance, and they give direction, helping everyone to move in the right direction. You know, Peter spoke about this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. He is talking to elders here, and he says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you as overseers. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not by dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In other words, we, as leaders of the church, have to give you what you need because it's what we need as well. That's what Paul was telling us in our text. In our opening text, it takes all of us working together, doing the things that we do well to get the job done. You know, we need to build with a goal in mind, and we need to build with a plan in mind. I do hope that everyone here realizes that we actually have a plan here at Dawson Road for 2024. We gave it to you at the end of 2023 so that you would know what to expect from us. And from this church for this year. And we have already gotten a lot of the things done that we have planned for 2024. And we're just now really getting started good in 2024. This is the last Sunday of the second month. We have 10 more to go. We have spiritual goals. We have physical goals which need to be met. And we've all got to do it together. We need to help each other reach these goals. Church leadership is essential. But friends, the church leadership, just like 12 men in Detroit, they can't do it alone. It takes work on the part of everyone. Which brings me to our last point. We must build up together. In other words, we are to have no divisions. We are to be of the same mind. We are to have the same goal. We are to have the same expectations and how to reach that goal. Paul tells us, Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And I love this part. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Does anybody in this room have an opinion about anything? Yeah. If you're honest, your hand will go up. We've all got our opinion on how things need to operate in daily life, in our lives, and even in your life. We even have our own opinion of how you need to live your life, don't we? Yeah, we do that, don't we? We sure do. You know, one of the biggest problems in the church today is people trying to be wise because of their own opinion. And do you know what opinionated people really do? They do nothing more than cause controversy and chaos. Highly opinionated people usually think that nobody can be right but them, and nobody should even try to question them in their opinions and what they think. And my friends, you will never, ever have unity with that attitude. You will never, ever have love for one another with that attitude. And you will never, ever move forward as a church with that attitude. That's why Paul said, we need to be of the same mind, and that is not being high-minded. In other words, thinking of yourself. We have got to build together. What gets the work done? Pulling in the same direction. Working together as a team. Developing that same frame of mind so that what one person lacks in, and by the way, we all lack in something, someone else can pick up our slack and the work can continue. There is no reason that we can't imitate first century Christianity. Because you go back to the book of Acts and you will see these people did it right. And here's another thing. These people had not been doing it all their lives when they started. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were delivered. And y'all have heard me say this before. 3,000 souls went home that night, didn't have a clue how to be a Christian. They had to learn it. And then when they learned it, they applied it. And the church grew. And that's how it's done. We have a work to do. The question is, will you be a part of that work? Will you do your part to see to it that God's church becomes what it needs to be? My friends, as a Christian, if you haven't been doing your part, you can begin again tonight, and you can have that determination to do your part to help this church be what it needs to be. And we want to give you an opportunity to do that by simply correcting the wrong in your life that has stopped you from working the way God wants you to work. He will forgive you of your mistakes and move you forward if you will let Him. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, we need workers. We need those who can get their hands into the work and help us grow and be what we need to be. And it will help you because it will save your soul. And you can help this church be what it needs to be as a Christian. So tonight, remember, we need to build together. Because building apart will never get it done. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.